You'd never know it by passing down Main Street or walking through the Waterfowl Park, but nestled in between the two, just off Waterfowl Lane, is the regional office for the Canadian Wildlife Service. That's where we found Al Hansen and his crew one day last week, cleaning and preparing their airboat to head out on another round of bird banding in the marshy wetlands of the region. I was curious about Hansen's operation because of stories I'd read online about late-night noisy operations in wetlands, so I dropped by last week to find out more.
So hi, I'm Al Hansen. I'm head of the Aquatic Assessment Unit here at the Canadian Wildlife Service in Sackville, New Brunswick, and our group's responsible for waterfowl management in Atlantic Canada, so that includes doing surveys, banding, which we're doing now, as well as setting hunting regulations.
Okay, so you're doing banding right now. So what, I mean, I have a sense of what that is, but explain exactly what that is.
So banding is we capture the duck and we put a metal ring, aluminum band or ring around their leg, and that band contains a unique number sequence that identifies that bird. So we capture the bird, we put a band on it, and we identify this species, the sex and the age, and then that goes into an international database. And then when a hunter harvests that bird, they'll report the band, and so we get an idea of what we call direct recovery, which is the number of birds that are harvested in that first season, and then we also get information on long-term survival, etc. And the other way that we can use that information is if we recapture the bird. So sometimes we're out banding and we'll catch a bird that was banded 4 or 5 years earlier. And with improved optics, some bird watchers can actually read the number on a band and report it that way. So it just gives us, it's basically a social insurance number for a duck.
Wow, okay. And how many social insurance numbers for ducks are there in existence right now? Do we know?
Hundreds of thousands.
Oh my God.
Yeah, so it's the Canadian Wildlife Service, we're part of the Federal Department of Environment, so Environment and Climate Change Canada. And waterfowl are called a migratory game bird because they travel between Canada, the U.S., and Mexico and other countries. So that's why throughout North America and elsewhere, we do banding so we can keep track of these birds as they migrate. And we establish harvest regulations and population management based on a continental scale. So the work we're doing here in Atlantic region is also being conducted across Canada by the Canadian Wildlife Service, as well as in the United States by the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service.
And the database is all shared.
And the database is shared. And it's interesting, too. I'm getting older. And the change with technology. Previously, if people harvested a bird, they would have... There was a little number to call on the band, and then they would call in and report the band number, and then they would be mailed a certificate saying when and where that bird was banded and how old it was when it was banded. And now with technology, people are out in their hunting blind on opening day, and they shoot a banded bird, and then they're on their phone, and so that information can be back in their hands within a matter of minutes.
Can you talk about, like, what are some of the practical uses? Like, what good has come from, like, the information we know about wild bird populations in North America?
So ducks and geese and other game birds are harvested. So we actually use this information in population management models. So the seasons are based on harvest rates. So this is very much information from these banded birds, and the returns on them go into our status reports, and those status reports are the basis for our regulations here in Canada.
So that would determine, say, how long the season would be any given year?
Yeah, so we have a number of parameters that we can influence with regard to the hunting season or hunting in general. So there's just general rules around the types of equipment you can use. So, you know, in keeping with not hunting in an ethical method manner and not unnecessarily wounding birds, and having, you know, the fair chase concept. But the other things we can control are the dates of the hunting season. So, you know, in northern latitudes, the season may start on September 1st versus here in New Brunswick, it's October 1st. The length of the season, so does the season go until December 1st, December 15th, and that will influence the total harvest. And then something called the bag limit, which is how many birds you could harvest per day. So we have different regulations, you know, The total number of ducks you could harvest on a given day are 6, but perhaps only 3 of those could be black ducks. So all of this information from banding and band returns plays into that, and they go into very elegant statistical models that incorporates all of this banding information. And I guess that's the point that I'd really like to emphasize if I have the opportunity. It's really important for hunters to report those bands because, you know, we go all through all the work and expense of putting the band out, but unless we get hunters to report back on when they've harvested that bird, we don't have that part of the equation, so it's a wasted band.
Do you, whereabouts do you take this boat? What is this boat? Explain this boat here.
Yeah, so we're using an airboat to capture ducks. We also use what we call bait traps, where we put corn out and the duck basically swims into a trap and can't find its way out. So right now we're running bait traps as well as using the airboat. The airboat, it's basically a big flat bottom boat with a propeller at the back and a V6 Corvette engine. So if you've ever watched Swamp People or any of that and seen airboats, that's exactly the type of boat we're using. This was built in Florida. It's a large engined boat with a big propeller on the back, and it's not that we need to go fast to catch ducks. We just need to be able to push our way through vegetation in 2 or 3 inches of water. So we're basically just going slightly faster than a walk through the marsh at most times, and we're going at night. So the moon, ideal conditions are no moon, no moonlight, and after sunset, and we have a large light bar at the front, and then we have the driver with a spotlight, and it's so dark that the birds, hopefully, will freeze and not swim away quickly or fly away. And we have a long-handled dip net. The handle's like 3 feet long, like you use for landing a salmon, and the hoop's about 2 feet in diameter. And we just basically scoop the bird up and put them in the holding bins. And then when we're the holding bins are full, we come back to shore and we put a band on them. I would also mention that for your listeners, that each species takes a different size band. So a green-winged teal, which is a small little duck, will take a size 4, versus a mallard duck takes a size 7. So we're there, and the bands they open up, and you just crimp them around the duck's leg and make sure that it rotates freely, and we release the bird, once we start banding, within a minute or so, and they're released unharmed, and away they go.
All right, so whereabouts do you, you know, when you take this airboat out, whereabouts are you taking it?
Yeah, so we're using the airboat in wetlands that are relatively large. They have vegetation so that the ducks can hide in it. If it's a large open water wetland, if we put the boat on it, oftentimes they'll just fly away. But if it's got vegetation, the duck will say, okay, I'm going to hide in this vegetation. There's a noise out there. I don't know what it is, but I'll hide here and I'll be safe. So that's why we go into those wetlands. And so we're basing the airboat operations out of here in Sackville. So we're going over to Dorchester. We went down to Wallace last night. Sometimes we'll go to PEI. So probably 12 to 15 wetlands, about an hour or two drive from the Sackville office. And, we try to inform local communities and police and people that we're out with the airboat because it's a different noise that most people are accustomed to at night. So often we've had people show up going, oh, it's you guys in an airboat. We thought there was a truck down here stuck in the wetland. So we're constant, and thanks for the opportunity, just trying to let people know, no, it's not aliens, it's not someone in a stolen vehicle or someone stuck in the marsh, it's us in the airboat. So
it's a little strange because it happens at night, as you say.
Yeah, it happens at night, and with the engine noise and the propeller, it does make a noise, and it's surprising how far that noise will travel over open areas. So, you know, around Dorchester and Sackville, we have the marshland. So we'll be on a wetland 4 or 5 miles from someone's house when they can hear it like we're in their backyard. So they're curious what's going on. And they'll oftentimes, some people will take the effort to come and drive down and see what's going on. And then we have to explain to them what we're doing. And most people are fine with it and mostly interested in this operation and to see an airboat.
That's Al Hansen, head of the Aquatic Assessment Unit at the Canadian Wildlife Service office in Sackville, part of the group responsible for waterfowl management in Atlantic Canada. Henson said the program wraps up this week before the moon returns to light up the night sky and well before hunting season begins on October 1st.